Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, this show, we get deep into home theater.
Yes, we learn how to configure seating and how to stretch the fabric, right?
And we do break down some race cars as well.
We talk about Mac and Charlene Tilton somehow also.
First, blinds galore. That's right. Over 2 million windows covered. BlindsGalore.com does one thing, and they do it better than anyone else. 100% custom window treatments built to your exact measurements. Blinds, shade, shutters, drapes, even blinds that connect to your smartphone and your Amazon Alexa device. I'm working on that right now. I have the electric ones in my bedroom. I'm using the remote they gave me, but I'm like, I'm going to get these things set up with Alexa.
So yeah,
I can just tell Alexa what I want. Anyway, we have them in the home, we have them in the studio, we have them in the edit bays. The new Build a Blind tool lets you create and customize your window treatments online. See what the blinds look like before you purchase them. So it does it virtually. Start to finish, measuring, picking out, installing. Their in-house team experts will guide you through every step of the way, online or over the phone. It's the best. It's BlindsGalore.com, right, Matt?
That's right. Whether you need more privacy to sleep in, to cool down, or just fix up a room, BlindsGalore.com is just what you're looking for. Check them out. Let them know Adam sent you. That's BlindsGalore.com.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let me show you.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on the church. Hot
fire!
Hot fire! Ace Corolla. I got a 50,000-watt flamethrower
here, man. You're like white hot.
Mm-hmm. We got our antenna up on Mount Wilson, are going all the way across the Southland,
all over the place,
to the desert and to the sea.
Even
man.
Whittier, I hear.
Parts of Whittier. That's Stromer. I'm Ace. This is Ace on the House, man. Woo! I'm in home theater mode.
Yeah, baby doll. What do you got now? Because I know last time, let me revisit, you were getting into your big, your risers and your seat positioning, and how do you do it, and where do you put them, and so where are you now?
I built my riser initially.
Let me ask you how you built your riser, because my concern on a riser would be that it would be a hollow box that would sound like a subwoofer when you walk on it, interfering my viewing experience. What did you do to baffle that?
Here's what I did. Oh, for that?
Yeah.
I did nothing. So here's what I
fuck them if they get distracted by me walking.
I never even thought
with my
about
boots
that.
On the
no,
riser.
No. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I did a 2x8 and not a 2x6 on its side because I wanted the overall riser height to be about 8 inches.
Okay.
A 2x8 is probably 7.5 minus an eighth or something.
Thanks
I don't
to Weyerhaeuser and their new sizing.
Yes. I did go with the inch and an eighth sturdy floor subfloor because it's got the T&G built into it.
Yeah, there'll be no cupping.
I did screw everything down. I now tend to just use kind of construction screws to put everything together. Yeah. And I'll tell you why, because I built this platform at 8 foot. I looked at it 8 foot wide and I was like, it's too deep. Let's take 2 feet off or whatever. Backed off some screws, shortened it up a little.
Yeah.
By
the way, the secret to a smart and wise journeyman carpenter, screws.
Screws now.
Because you can fix it.
Yeah. No cat's paw. As a matter of fact, Dylan or just Matt, regular Matt. Matt.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. What?
On my phone is actually a couple of pictures of the platform and the seat and the whatever. The first,
I'd like to see it.
The first pictures are of my race car all taken apart. Uh-huh. I want to thank our sponsors for this show: blindsgalore.com, ADT.com, and Geico.com. The race car stuff is long and tragic and sad, and it's going to cost me a bunch of money.
Wait, did you crash?
No.
Wait. Let's finish with the risers, then tell me
about
the race
car. That's right. Yeah. I bought the chairs for the theater, red leather.
Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather. Try it. Let me hear.
I can't do
it. Come on.
I bought the carpet. I got carpet swatches. Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out the carpet. I did the riser. I did my dog ear on the outer corner of the riser so it didn't have a sharp corner.
Oh, good call.
Yeah, I don't like that sharp edge.
No, because then you get up and you're about ready to watch Inglorious Bastard. And
that's
then what
right.
do you do? You skin your shin.
I got the red leather chairs. I'm thinking about a black carpet and padding on the riser and then maybe like a darker blue for the main body of the theater.
Yes.
I just got done moments ago working with my guy and talking about how to do the fabric and the tuck and the tuck and the fabric. And for those who want to know.
Yeah.
The way
you talk about fabric stretching.
Yeah.
So those tees, right?
Yeah. I will attempt to tell you guys what I've learned in the last 20 minutes, which is when you're doing the theater, you got the side walls, you got the back wall, and then there's the front where the screen is, right?
Yeah.
So you have the side walls. We'll just take the side walls as an example.
Okay.
You put the speakers in the side wall.
Oh, wait. Let me hear about your configuration of speakers, first of all. So how does that work?
That's me telling AV Ed, put the fucking speakers where you want to put the
where
fucking
speakers.
Where he
thinks they should go.
They're sort of in the middle.
Optimal.
The two side ones are in the middle.
Will you be able to have THX sound?
I have no goddamn idea. Look, let's face it. My son's going to go down there and smoke pot when he's 16. I'll never walk in there. Let's be honest. We're not doing anything in that
Good
room.
Good point.
There's a picture of the riser.
Oh, look at that dog ear.
There's a picture of a dog ear and my dog who just follows me.
Oh, is he
less
depressed
now?
Feels
less depressed now that the wife and the kids are home.
Okay, good.
All right. So I took a picture of the riser.
Yeah, that's great.
And then I got the chairs, and I took two chairs. One I slid to the back, the other I slid to the front, and then I reclined them both to see if you had foot clearance, if the front reclined and the rear.
So wait, is that
reclined.
Back chair? That's not the full recline position.
No, it's just sitting up.
Okay, but does it recline from that position?
If you put the chair, you space the chair. The base, 8 inches from the back wall,
I see.
You can go into full recline.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. So I have it set for about 5 chairs across the back and 4 chairs across the front.
Fantastic.
And I don't know what Phil's doing. Phil's sniffing.
Phil's smelling stuff. And is that a soundproof door?
It's a solid core inch and three quarter door, which I grabbed from some other part of the house okay. when I was demoing the house and put the door in there. I didn't take a bunch of pictures because really what I was doing was just taking a picture of the carpet swatches to send a good, to send to Matt D'Andrea
yeah.
to ask him what his take was on the color palette.
Yeah.
Now,
and you find Matt D to have a fashion sense about him, do you?
Yes, I have found, here's what I have found.
Yeah.
I have found that there's an aesthetic that some people have
yeah.
that is better than others.
Yes.
And that is not based on any form of intelligence. Let me give you my point.
All right.
Ray and Donnie have a good sense of an aesthetic. They're very low on the intelligence scale, but they have a good aesthetic.
But I mean, it's sort of like fashion or
it's like a blues musician or something. It's like he's great at playing the blues guitar, but he has a fourth grade education. You, right. you know what I'm saying? It's like yeah. there's a kind of an aesthetic
like
that
Chicken
some people
Boy.
Have.
He's like Chicken Boy.
Like Chicken Boy. Yeah. No, they're just some people happen to be good with colors and yeah. materials and in design, like as an aesthetic.
Would you say that precludes, I mean, it gives somebody the ability to be a designer because they genetically have that predisposition and that's why you become a designer or what? What is your take on that?
I don't know. I know that, like, I'll give you an example, right. and I have no idea how much of this is true.
Okay.
You would yeah. want Ray.
Yeah.
to take a look at your home theater and look at your material and your swatches of your carpet and stuff, but you wouldn't want Ben Shapiro to do it.
Right.
Ben Shapiro is 1,000 times smarter than Ray.
Right.
But you would rather have Ray do this. So there's a kind of a weird aesthetic.
Yeah.
Now, good.
God, oh, this is difficult. This I don't.
Matt
we gotta get a chart.
G
yeah.
has a good aesthetic eye.
Yes.
And a good intelligence.
Yeah.
So sometimes, like moi, that's uh-huh. Mexican for me, sometimes you can have yeah. both.
Yeah.
But I tend to find the people who have a good aesthetic eye.
You can identify them in a crowd. You can pick them out. You just know.
No.
They have to prove themselves?
Matt D has walked through the house.
Should we get name tags here?
I wonder. You know, it's early, and I'm just, it's one of those things where once it's in my head, I can't
I get
stop.
It. Yeah.
I thought wearing this dunce cap to work every day would give it away.
Yeah. I know, but
it makes your ears look so weird. I don't know why you wear that thing.
Matt D'Andrea has walked through my house many times and made many a strong suggestion.
Yes. And you have said, wow, that guy really does know
I'm
his
like,
stuff.
Yeah, good Matt's. Matt at my house has, yeah. has a good take. So
does he have a fashion sense, this Matt? Does he walk around and you go, wow, that guy knows how to buy the right kind of shirt? And
I'm assuming, here's what I assume.
Yeah.
I assume good aesthetic taste
yeah.
is like being athletic
uh-huh.
and you going, but is he good at tennis? And my answer would be like, I'm sure you would be, but not as good as if you played all the time.
I
if that
see.
Was your
so
sport,
potential
you know what
there.
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I have a good design aesthetic eye
yeah.
for houses and for automobiles,
yes.
but I don't really have much for clothes, but
yeah.
I don't really care about clothes.
Got
but
it.
If you pushed me, I might have a better
right.
aesthetic than some people do,
gotcha.
Although I don't care.
I see.
So there's another picture. Sorry, Dylan. There's another picture in there that's just of the carpet, you know, and the chair, and I was trying
well,
to put
well,
the,
I
pick
think
out
that
the
that's,
carpet.
I and, think that thing where you bring in, and I've been doing this more and more in my life and work, is like physically you bring the thing in to get the sense of space and where it's going to sit and how it's going to feel. You can't rely on a design plan to see what chair's position should be. Right?
Stromer, good, regular, just...
Just trauma? Fairly okay.
You've never
trauma.
Been more writer-er in your life.
Yes.
Well, I ordered these chairs
yeah.
for the theater.
Right.
All in total, 9. I said to my guy, Peter, who's working with me in the house, I said, when are they going to be delivered? He said, like, in a week. I said, where is the place?
Right.
He said, it's like, it's in Carson or something.
Everything's in Carson.
I said, tell them I want one.
Yeah.
I want you to go there. I want you to get one.
Yeah.
I want you to bring it back, and we're going to put it on the riser. We're going to recline it.
Right.
Yeah, I got a spec sheet that says it's 68 inches when it's fully reclined.
How do you know? You can't know.
21 off the ground.
Right.
Whatever. I said, put it on the riser, stretch it out.
Yep.
You sit in it, recline.
Yep.
I will then walk in front of you, and we'll figure out how wide to make our riser.
Right.
Looking at the spec sheet really doesn't
help. When I
help.
Teach homeowners about their kitchen configuration, I'll get boxes, moving boxes, and put them in as countertops and say,
right.
This is what it's going to feel like. Do you like this?
That's what I used
to
do.
It's an easy fix, right?
And then I would lay it out, like use a cardboard box for the island and stuff.
Right.
And then at some point, they'd go, okay, so this box represents the island, and I'd go, no, this is a finished product.
Yeah, this is it, and I need to be paid.
It's an ironing
right now.
Board sitting on top of a box, and I need to be cashed out. Yeah. Now, if you have a punch list.
Yeah.
And sometimes it worked.
Yeah. Sometimes people get it, because I'll put a coat of paint on it, sure.
Oh, yeah. I'll put a coat
of
primer.
Paint.
Put a coat of primer on there.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
So, okay, now tell me about the car. What the hell happened?
Oh, the car. God damn it. I spent...
Did you crash?
No.
Oh.
I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to have this Newman car put back together.
Yeah.
We didn't do it ourselves. I sent it out somewhere.
Yeah.
And after about 3 years, we finally got the whole thing back together.
Yeah.
Last year, I took it to Laguna Seca for the Rolex Historics. And during the main race on Saturday, I noticed that the clutch was starting to go. And
how do you know? You just tell it's not engaging and you hear it?
The clutch pedal is just sort of flopping down to the floor.
Gotcha.
And at a certain point, after about 6-7 laps, there was a full course yellow. At a certain point, I just had to pull off because I wasn't able to race it with the clutch the way it was. I then brought the car back to L.A., and I said to my guy, Sean, don't touch it.
Yeah.
I got other stuff I want you to work on. The next day, I showed up, and I said, what's that transmission doing sitting over there?
From the car, the Newman car.
Not initially. I just went, where'd that new transmission come from?
I
and he said, I pulled it out of the Newman car. I want to change that throwout bearing. And I said, I thought I said don't touch it.
Oh, no.
And he said, which is a frequent answer. I'll say it so Dylan can hear it. He said, I wanted to change the bearing because that way the next time you raced it, we would be ahead of the game.
Duh.
And I said, understood, but I'm the one who races the car. I'm the one who knows what the schedule is. And when I say don't touch it, then just don't touch it. I get the part where you don't want to be caught off guard. Like someone's going to come running into the shop, like Billy, a 12-year-old Billy holding his hat, like
pa,
in a Lassie
pa.
Episode.
Pa,
pa, what? We got to get that 300 ZX Turbo up to Willow Springs now.
Yeah.
There's a race this afternoon.
There's a storm coming.
And I'm like, well, what? The throwout bearing's not ready yet. Oh, damn it. And then he throws his hat on the ground and yells, pa.
Yeah.
I said, I understand when the races are.
Yeah.
And I will not
and
be
I know
running,
my timing.
I will not be running this car. But he pulled the transmission.
Yeah. Do you think he did this because that was what he was interested in doing, just as a chore?
I would say so.
Or was he trying to please you? Or
he
what?
Just wanted, he's a mechanic, he wanted to know what was going on.
All right.
So he dropped the transmission.
Yeah.
And I said, well, now that you've dropped the transmission, you may as well just change the throwout bearing and put the whole goddamn thing back together.
Okay.
And he said, yeah, there's a problem.
Oh, God.
And I said, what is the problem? And he said, you cannot change the throwout bearing from simply dropping the transmission. You can't access it.
Right.
You must pull the engine out of the car.
Oh.
And I said, but we wouldn't have to drop the transmission. We'd have to pull the engine out. And he said, yes, but I didn't know that. So I dropped the transmission, and now the transmission's dropped, and the entire engine has to come out of the car to get to this little bearing that's brand new. The car was totally rebuilt, and it's brand new.
And wouldn't you then want to say, send it back to the place that did it and go, what the hell? Or you can't do that in this world.
It's like they did it. It sat for like 2 years. We didn't run it. Then we ran it. And it was a seal that went bad on the throwout. And I just went, oh, fuck it. So then I said, well, then just step away from the car because I don't want to pull the whole engine out. Now the whole car is completely taken apart. I just want to kind of mothball it, just statically show it. But anyway, the Laguna Seca's coming up. I don't know, Nissan or somebody, Road and Track, wanted us to bring that car, whatever. I said, all right, it's time to put the whole car back together. So now pull the engine. And for the last week, I've just seen Sean there just taking every single part of this fucking race car engine apart.
But when it was rolling on the track initially, was it everything you thought it would be? Or what does it feel like driving that thing?
It's fast. I mean, they can find footage of it. There's also pictures on my phone of the car taken apart. Basically, those are the last few pictures. You can see what it fucking race car looks like taken apart.
Right.
It's a fucking hassle, man.
Jeez.
I mean, the entire engine's got to come out, and there's so much going on. Anyway, I will. you can find some footage from last year's Laguna Seca race of that car going down the track, and you can also see pictures of the car taken apart. And anyway, remind me to talk. I want to tell you what I've learned about the home theater experience.
All right, go for
first,
it.
I'll tell you about ADT. This episode brought to you by ADT, the nation's number one smart home security provider. All the latest innovation in smart home security, plus 24/7 monitoring. A team of pros design and install secure smart home system for you. And they have 18,000 employees with the connections to first responders and monitors. So they're just waiting. They're just
for the bad guy. They're waiting.
They're poised and perched and ready, man. Secure smart home. They have video doorbells. They have indoor and outdoor cameras. They have smart locks. You lock it from your phone. You do it remotely. And lights. Controlled from the ADT apps. You put that app on, or your voice. That's how advanced this is. Professionally monitored carbon monoxide smoke detectors. Do not sleep literally on carbon monoxide. It will kill you.
It's the silent killer, isn't it?
Oh my God. I've been poisoned. Please get focused, people. Safety on the go with ADT Go app and with the SOS button as well.
All right. So the home theater stuff.
The home theater stuff. I have figured, so here's how you do the walls.
Yeah.
Let's just say you have drywall walls.
Right.
Okay. You then mount your side speakers in the walls or wherever you mount them.
Do they have to be framed in framing or they just sit hanging in the wall? We don't know
yet. I don't know. I think you just put them in the wall.
All right.
Then you take, there's a picture of my goddamn race car. I'll take it apart because there's a goddamn throwout bearing that's
look at that thing. How does that guy Sean, so could ostensibly he could go work at like in an IndyCar pit and be okay doing that? Like, does he know that
Sean's
much?
A good mechanic. My only consolation is that you can show some other pictures, the whole front end.
That's amazing, man.
So I always say to him, well, now you're an expert on this car, right? And he's like, yeah.
Jeez.
He takes a bunch of pictures of the car. Oh, this is.
Oh wow!
I do enjoy this. Hey Dylan, I'm not driving that car. It's in last year's Laguna Seca. This I'm driving a Porsche in the footage you're showing.
Yeah,
I don't know what it says. Is it labeled something weird?
Is that
you're
all,
showing Rennsport? Is that all original?
Is that all original parts that have been recast and stuff, or is that new stuff?
Most of the cars, original stuff that's been completely rebuilt. Some of it's been redone, like the brakes and things of that nature.
Right.
I'll tell you about the home theater.
All right, so the speakers are in the wall.
Speakers are in the wall.
Yeah.
Then what you do, and you stop me if a lay person wouldn't understand
this. Gotcha.
You then buy a roll of the fabric.
Yeah.
The wall fabric.
Where'd you get that? I need
that
stuff.
I'm just going online. All right, all right. All right. You buy a roll of the fabric.
Okay.
The fabric roll is about 53, 54 inches wide.
Right.
In terms of its length, you just tell them they sell it by the yard.
Got it.
You then take the plastic strips that are 5 foot long and they're an inch deep,
yeah,
and they have that slit in them, and you and they're flat at the bottom or teed at the bottom,
yeah,
and you put them around the perimeter and down the middle and all that stuff, and you staple them to the wall, glue them, staple them, whatever, and then you take the 1 inch deep foam insulation and you cut it out and you put it between that perimeter,
right,
of those plastic things. And then you take your fabric and like a pizza wheel, cutting wheel, and you tuck it in taut into all
the slots.
All those slots. And the moral of the story is you want, if you have a 54 inch piece of fabric,
yeah,
the widest you can spread those plastic pieces out is about 50.
You went about two inches
of tuck, and then you just go around tuck.
And now, is it hard to keep that stuff square?
Taut? Lay it out square, but as far as the length goes,
yeah,
you can go all the way.
Oh, okay.
You can go 20 feet.
However long the roll is, yeah.
Right, but yeah, in terms of the height,
yeah,
that's 50.
Gotcha.
But on an 8 foot, so on an 8 foot high ceiling, you'd put the middle at 48,
yeah,
put the top and the bottom, and then just run the fabric right to left. Here's what that car looks like or right, sounds like when you're driving it.
Fast is that, like, on the straightaways? What do you think you're getting up to speed wise?
It's a short, tight track that has like this corkscrew. You can run, whatever. Has this crazy corkscrew and stuff in it.
Yeah.
The thing about it is you don't go that fast. What's happening is like there's a hill that goes all the way up the backside,
yeah,
and then you stop almost, and you drop into this corkscrew.
I see.
And at the getting to the top of the hill, you're going like 123 or something, but then you got to stop and go right down into this corkscrew, and like,
so technically, for driving, it's pretty hairy, that course. You got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, it's helpful. There's little, like between turn 4 and turn 5, it's like a little sprint, but you get up to like 125 in between the two things, and then you got to come down again. So it's this constant thing of getting up to 130 miles an hour, maybe 135 miles an hour, and then stopping, essentially, and turning, and then back up.
Does race car driving make you a better driver just in the city? Does it train you to be a better driver?
Couldn't hoit.
I better get on that train.
All right. Let's see. So, put the spacers up.
Yeah.
Put the 1 inch thick stuff in between.
Yeah.
Stretch the material over.
Sit back. Who's your fantasy nine in the seats, the first movie you watch? Who are the names? Who's the fantasy viewers with you?
Oh, God, I have to break that down.
You got to pick the amount of seats. That's it.
Well, I mean, there's you. There's good.
Duh.
Good Will Hunting guy, Matt Damon. Right? Good Will Hunting. Matt. Good Matt Damon. You know, Jimmy will talk to good Will. Matt. Good. Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
From Matt. Yeah. I call him Good Matt. Good from the Good Hunting.
That's right.
You know? And I guess DeAndre can swing by.
Yeah.
You know, but then Good Matt, you know, Damon. You know? Right. I don't know what the problem is.
That's it.
So as far as the riser goes, yeah. I didn't put any sound deadening stuff in it. And yeah. I got a 1 1/8 inch sturdy floor over the top of yeah. it. I'm going to screw the bejesus out of it, and then I'm going to put carpet and padding.
Yeah, that should do
over it.
Yeah.
I think that'll be good.
Okay,
all right.
It's Sacktown.
Mm-hmm.
It's Irwin.
Let's talk to Irwin. Irwin.
Hi, guy. Hey, guys. Love the show. Love the sound of that 935.
That was the sound. Sorry, that's the sound of a 3-liter turbocharged Nissan V6 that you were listening to. The 935 is 3-liter flat air cooled twin turbo. Different sound, but all good. Thank you.
I gotcha. Yeah, still awesome. So I've got this house. I bought it about a dozen years ago. I replaced linoleum in the kitchen with some tile, and I didn't really know what I was doing at the time. I looked underneath the linoleum and there was like kind of some repairs in the concrete,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't really think much of it. Tiled over the top of it. Flash forward, you know, 10 years, about a year or two ago, it starts buckling, and the tile seems like it's hollow underneath and it's coming up and it's in that area where that repair was.
Mm-hmm.
What am I looking at? Is this like a root underneath the house, or is it the foundation shifting, or what am I dealing with here?
Oh, sorry. Did we figure out it was a slab?
Yeah, it's a slab.
Oh.
It feels like your tile is just coming up from the slab, and then it stays in its place because the grout is holding it in the configuration to keep it in its place, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then imagine like dinner plates on the floor, and you've got, you know, superficial stuff around it holding it in place. It's still moving, and it'll occasionally spit grout up because the movement on a certain way that you step on it will kind of eject it out of the grout joint. So essentially, you got to pull up what is loose and try and find replacements, and then get in there and scrape off all the old thinset and start over. What happened? Did you get electrocuted?
Yeah. I'm on my way to the hospital now.
Oh, boy.
So this isn't really indicative of, like, a super disaster. Like, I've got to, you know, tear out part or cut into the foundation. It's just shifting, and I can replace the tile, and I'll be fine?
Yes, probably.
Well,
now
we have to investigate.
Yeah, you
got to
go a little deeper just to find out what is going on in terms of, is there cracking in the drywall? Do you see any cracks in the ceiling? Do you see any shifting from the outside when you look at the soil as it sits level with the house? Has that changed at all? What else you got, Ace? What else are you thinking?
I don't know. I do know we got to pop everything, and we got to look. And then I know that if there is a crack in the foundation, we got to staple it,
right?
Do the staple and the epoxy, and then you can feather float, skim, whatever, re-level and whatever.
Yeah.
So we have to take a look at what the damage is. We have to possibly repair the damage if there is damage.
Right.
Then we have to sort of re-skim it to get it back to level,
right?
And then we have to reapply the
tile. And great. And if you re-skim it, that the feather float stuff is fantastic, self-leveling. You mix it thin and just pour it in there, make sure it stays below the level of the surrounding slab if there's a U or divot in the slab as it exists now, and let it dry, and then go ahead and reattach your tile. But the best test is to just literally go around and knock with your knuckle on the floor. And you'll hear a completely different sound on the tile when you knock on it. It'll be, you know, like a higher pitch hollow sound. And that's how you identify what's coming up ultimately.
Yeah, that's what I was experiencing first. Just walking across it, you could hear some tiles sounded hollow underneath. And now they're just popping up. Okay.
How's your wife? Are you married?
No, but a longtime girlfriend.
What'd she think?
She doesn't like it. She thinks I did a crappy job.
Well, I think the thing, if you want to get sexy time, just demo the whole thing and start over and do it right.
Okay, what do you guys recommend for tile now? I did this thing 10 years ago with some discount, you know, like porcelain tile that I got at Home Depot.
Did you say this was in your kitchen?
Yeah, kitchen.
Okay, well, first things, that you know, what Home Depot has to offer in 2019 is far greater than what they had in 2009.
Yeah.
So they have nice stuff now. I've had a pretty good experience with the wood grain board type stuff.
Yeah, as long as it's not tying into existing wood, right. Then it looks weird. But if it's coming into something like carpet, it looks awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. I've kind of had a good experience with it. There's just everything is there now. Everything is good. And I'm not saying you're going to find what you want at Home Depot or Lowe's. I'm saying go there first.
Yeah.
See if something tickles your fancy.
Bring her and have her choose, and then all your whole world will change. Let her make the decision.
Yes. Now, what I have with my theater, my wife will not go down there and will not pick out carpet and will not pick out colors. And at a certain point, I will announce, well, then I'm making the decisions.
Yeah.
And I will. And then at a certain point when we're done, she'll come down and she'll go, why'd you get that blue-gray carpet? And I'll go, because you didn't come down and make a choice. And she'll go,
I don't like the
blue-gray. And I'll go, well, there was a window. That window was about 3 months. And
window of negligence?
The window of negligence. Now, it is true that it is downstairs, but it's still in the house you live in.
Yeah.
So I feel like you could swing by.
It's not that far.
And render a decision.
Right.
It's not like you got to go out to Whittier.
No.
Just go by, take a look, and render a decision. But if you're not, I'm making the decision. My daughter does the same thing.
Yeah.
She comes by and goes, why did you pick that? And I'll go, I asked everyone in this house 5 times if they want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Nobody fucking looked up from their phone. Yeah, I am now on
Hallelujah.
My own.
And by Hallelujah.
The way, if you would like an apology, let me turn around and drop my fucking pants.
Right.
Because if you think I'm going to apologize for building something and you didn't weigh in on it, even though you're asked to weigh in on it, it's not the way. By the way, it's not the way I'm wired. It's not the way humanity's wired. You chose not to weigh in.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
I've made the decision. It's an executive decision.
It's infuriating. The phone thing with the kids looking down, I want to kill myself. They don't respond. I finally reached in the other day and I grabbed my son's Fortnite controller and phone and said, fuck you! And then I left.
You should write a book.
Yeah. Parenting.
Fuck you. By Eric Stromer, with a foreword by damn it, Matt. I'll do the foreword.
All right, somebody do it.
All right.
Okay, can I tell you about Geico?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off dry cleaning, pick up some milk. How about save hundreds of dollars on car insurance and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything? Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? Yes, it's the most rewarding to do you can do today. Geico.com. Go to Geico.com.
All right. Geico.com. All right. We have an email question?
Yes, we do. As always, please email us, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. Go to Ace on the Roof if you want to see the pictures. This is an email from Asa, although I don't think it's from our friend Asa. Ace and Stromer, get it on. I'm a 33-year-old guy from Pennsylvania, first-time homeowner. I noticed the shingles on the peak of my roof were starting to blow off. The house was built in 1998. Is there a certain type of shingle I need to buy to replace the ones that came off? And is it as simple as getting up on the roof and nailing a new one on? Thanks.
Well, it's got those like asphalt shingles. And they have a special tool for like lacing in shingles.
I think it's called the shingler.
The shingler by Menon.
Yeah.
They have a tool. I don't know. It kind of looks like a Slim Jim or something.
Yeah, and it goes up under and pries up the course above so that you can slip in the new shingle.
I would highly suggest to anyone listening, if you are going to try to lace in some shingles into your roof, asphalt shingles, go to Amazon and pay $12 and get this tool.
Right.
I've never
watch some videos because it's simple if you do it right and a nightmare if you don't.
I've never used it. I've never tried it. I've only seen it.
Try the theme song with me. Ready? The Shingler.
So you can now here's the thing. Yeah. Here's what I would say.
Yeah.
I have painted a roof.
Yeah. We mean paint?
Yeah.
Old shingles.
I painted a weird rubbery tin roof that had like a weird rubber coating on it with elastomeric paint. So here's what I would do.
Yeah.
I would go find the asphalt shingle that matches most closely
shape-wise and color
to the one that's missing.
Right.
Now, the one that's up there is 13 years old, right, and it's been in the sun and it's been in the snow. Then I would take that shingle, right? And I would like take a couple cans of Krylon plastic paint or whatever, and I would dust it a little. Like I would knock it down. I would age it.
Oh, well, you mean the new one to make it look like the old roof so it doesn't pop out so much.
You know when you're doing one of your important acting gigs?
Yeah.
And they give you the dungarees, they give you the blue jeans.
Yeah.
But at some point, they go, this guy's a salty construction foreman. Yeah. He's not wearing brand new shiny blue jeans.
Who would wear those?
And they give it to the girl, and she like puts dust on it and balls it up. She ages it down.
That's right.
Do that. Like when you were modeling.
Oh, yeah, man. They used to put the sweatsuit on me, change the waistband, put a pin in the back.
You'd fall through the psych.
Fall through the psych. Fuck everything up.
The point is this. Take that shingle and experiment a little with aging it down.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
That's like blue hair when you're playing the old man in the play. They put the blue hair on you,
A little brown plastic Krylon, a little gray.
Good idea.
A little charcoal color. Just dust. Experiment. Yeah. Put it up on the roof. See how it reads.
Yeah.
Then get your laser tool.
The shingler.
And work that thing in. Okay. Stromer, are you ready to vomit?
Yeah.
I'm handing you a tube of caulk.
Wow.
Do you know how many goddamn times I've talked to my guys about, would you please put the cap on the goddamn caulk or put a nail in
it
or something?
What do we call this? A piece of...
It's called 3/4 of a tube of caulk that I'm going to throw in the garbage because it's dry now because somebody took electrical tape and tried to cover the end up, but...
And this happened. It just looks like...
It's just an open end.
Toilet paper on your shoe. Just coming off the end of this thing.
Is it?
Ruined.
The number of conversations. Just take a nail. Just take an 8-penny sinker and just slide it into
That's
the hole so
do.
It's usable.
Right.
So
then
it's usable.
It
we don't have to throw it away.
I know.
Don't wrap the electrical tape around it.
And this is the good stuff, too. This is the expensive cogs.
Thank you.
$8 a tube.
Thank you. Don't wrap the electrical tape around the end, squeeze it, pinch it, and then throw it back in the drawer.
Yeah, I know.
What is it?
I don't understand.
Why are ideas no longer conveyable?
Because the kids today don't practically use their hands to do this stuff. So you tell them a concept that you can't repeat unless you've been in the field. Right?
That's all these guys do is this shit. You know how many arguments I've been into with my guys about would you fucking... When you're done using the caulk, would you fucking put a cap on it or put a nail in? I want to use it again.
What kills me is when you use the Bondo, don't lose the little tube
of
the catalyst. That makes me insane. And then you got to go buy a whole nother can. It's horseshit.
I'm amazed, man. I walk around my house. I see the toothpaste with the cap sitting just next to it on the countertop. And I'm like, don't.
You know what
put
I
the
saw?
Cap back on.
You know what I saw this morning? I saw a whole strawberry sitting under the stool at my counter. Just a whole strawberry.
I don't want to be a one-upper. I opened my fridge yesterday. Yeah. I saw an entire glass IPA with just the beer out of the neck part open, just sitting in the fridge. It's like, my thing is just throw it away then if you don't want it or hand it to somebody. It's just going to go flat and then you'll throw it away or possibly someone will just knock it over in the fridge and it'll just
smell like a frat house.
What is,
I don't know.
Is that part of, now this is all coming from Average Street. Where do I live? Common Man Avenue.
Yeah.
This is not on top of Genius Mountain.
No.
This is Average Street.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right. let's see. Let me... what are you working on, Stromer?
I have the completion of the world's greatest cabinets in the history of the universe. I installed them yesterday. They're one of the units.
I hesitate
is 18,
to ask.
18
did you,
feet tall.
Did you take some pictures of your setup of your?
I did. I sent them to the friends in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Our own Dylan has used them as love aids before mm-hmm. he gets going.
You have pictures of your outdoor cabinet shop.
Yeah, I sent them to the Gary. Where is Gary? Is Gary passed away or is he okay?
Gary's had a child.
Yeah, I believe Gary's wife is giving a baby out right now.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
They're just handing them out now.
Did they name that baby Eric Stromer?
I gotta ask.
Eric Stromer would have to be the middle name, right?
But if you only send the pictures to Gary, that may be an issue.
Ooh, whoops. Okay, I'll get them back to you. I want you to see this stuff. It's an amazing bar. That two of them that worked out great. They look amazing.
I feel like our little fabric-based conversation we had today will pay dividends for you.
Oh,
at some point
soon. Well, I need to do that on the back of one of these cabinet doors where the sub sits in the cabinet. So that's why I was asking where you got that fabric.
Right. So kind of what I'm saying is you can make a wood, and I have done this in the past.
Yeah.
You can make a wooden frame and then stretch the fabric over it and hang it, you know, from the wall.
Right.
And put the sound deadening stuff in between.
Okay.
But a much cleaner look is to take these 5 foot long plastic strips, put them and when you go into a nice home theater and you see that wall of fabric and it looks perfect, how else could you do it? How else could you tuck it taut?
Right.
How else could you pull it and everything?
You'd have to upholster Luan panels and then put those up on the wall, which is so dumb.
That ain't happening. It's not going to look like this.
Nope.
All right. You can find me coming up Monterey doing the Rolex Historics.
Jeez,
man.
That's a big deal, isn't it?
It is. They get 100,000 people out there.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And if you win that, what happens? You get basked in champagne and glory and some chicks?
I won the Rolex Cup there 1 year.
Did you really?
Which was not for me winning the race. It was just for having the best race in the best car. It's sort of half we like your car, and the other half is you drove that car that we like well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you get a Rolex?
No.
Oh.
Which is what everyone asks. And why we always end on a somber note. So the discussion with the Rolex Cup is, I won the Rolex Cup. That's the beginning.
That's good. Okay.
That sounds positive.
Right.
The end is...
You didn't get in.
You didn't get a watch? Sorry for your loss. And then they walk away. So it doesn't end
well.
No,
they walk away saying, I'm going to get a drink. I'll see you.
Yeah, I'll see you. Sorry. Sorry to hear that. My fault for bringing it up. Never's winning a cup for a race been less satisfying. If you'd also like to know, I did not get a watch.
Yeah.
The cup is prominently displayed in the lobby. I believe it's there. I won the cool shirt pass of the day when I did a Trans Am race, but I never received my cool shirt in the mail.
Right.
And several years ago at Fontana, I won the Mack Tilton Hard Charger of the Day award for passing the most cars, which was a $100 gift certificate
that
anything Tilton made, and I lost it. So I'm
so this racing 04. Thing, this racing thing's really paying off.
Well, to be fair, if you go to Tilton and you try to, and you got $100 for a Tilton gift certificate, you can buy like half a clutch pedal.
Right.
Like, the shit's thousands of dollars. It's like if I said, you like Mastro Steakhouse?
Yeah.
I'll get you a $10 gift certificate.
It's an onion ring.
You can go buy an onion ring. Like, thanks.
May I make a suggestion and have the boys weigh in?
Mm.
Could we maybe change Ace Man to Hard Charger?
Hard Charger. That was at Fontana.
Am I right?
I started
hard charger
46, and I passed like 25 cars. I got the Mack Tilton Hard Charger Award.
I like it, man.
Yeah,
that may be my pet name for you.
Yeah, the cool shirt, cool pass of the day would have been awesome.
Yeah, nope, nothing.
Would have liked to get that bad boy in the mail.
Yeah, but you would.
No such luck.
No way.
I think in the racing game, they play fast and loose with the promises.
Well, yeah,
you know what I mean? They're all like bad stepdads. Like, oh, man, we're going to Disney World this summer. It's like, where's Dad? He's drunk.
Yeah.
He's got a new girlfriend. It's not. Oh, he's in Florida, but he.
Yeah. He loves. He said he loved you last year. What do you want?
Yeah. All right. So go to AdamCarolla.com for all of the stuff. And you want to see me at the World of Speed with Mario Andretti coming up in Portland August 30th. You can come out to that
as
well.
That's fantastic.
Support the show by visiting aceontheroof.com and click the PayPal button and subscribe. We got to get Stromer a new ride.
Yes.
Take the Podcast One survey at Podcast One. Dot study, please, and get a gift certificate for that. Maybe it's a Mack Tilton hard charger.
Win a washer, a vinyl washer.
Mack Tilton. Tell me who Mack Tilton. Mack Tilton was
Is it related to Charlene Tilton?
Gotta be
I used
nice.
To see some of those photos.
We crossed, you know, me and Charlene.
I know you did. I remember that. You had a cross baby, didn't you?
Mack Tilton was like a builder, engineer, engine builder, like race car builder who just started coming out with like his own brand of pieces and clutches and flywheels.
Ace, you're going to like this. He was also a legend in the competitive rifle shooting world.
Wow.
That's range.
The guy could build. You literally range. The guy built like aluminum flywheels and clutch assemblies and supplied like all the race parts for these guys like back in the 60s and the 70s. Is Mack Tilton still alive? I don't think so.
No, he passed away in, looks like, April 2018.
What did he do? Let's just claim to fame, like working with Shelby or building stuff for, you know, Bonneville's speed records or something. And then also, Matt, even though it's uncomfortable with this, you know, he passed recently, but I would like you to contact his heirs and tell them, I'm down $100. Like, I need you to reissue me that hard. Your dad would have wanted it that way.
Yeah, right. He promised.
So of the numerous innovations Tilton brought to the racing world, the most heralded is the carbon racing clutch.
Ooh.
Awarded a U.S. patent and the 1988 Lewis Schwitzer Award for technology behind the race industry.
Does that still hold today?
$100. $100, which was my Mack Tilton gift certificate.
Yeah.
For $100, you could hold that clutch
just before you had to hand
it back to the guy behind the counter. Yeah. That's how much
They're
of that clutch
it
that
out of your
would
hand.
Have bought you.
Right.
He was also the former crew chief for the Brock Racing Enterprises team that won the 71 and 72 Trans Am Championships.
B-R-E, Brock. There you go. All right. We miss Mack Tilton, and I miss his gift certificate.
And Charlene, too. I miss her.
So, until next time, Adam Kroll for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save.